I'm Carmel Dalshad of WAMU 88.5. Women are increasingly speaking out against sexual harassment, whether it's taking place at work or even at home. But a new battleground to combat harassment is emerging in the spaces in between, on public transportation. According to Metro, 1 in 5 people experience sexual harassment on regional public transportation. And while Metro is urging people to report harassment, critics are calling for the agency to be more aggressive when reports of harassment come in. And a warning, this report contains some graphic language. Imagine you're riding on the Metro. And you can feel someone staring you down. Next comes a comment, something like, "Hi, sweetie, you should smile more." Or the classic, "Hey, beautiful, what's your number?" It's an uncomfortable moment and you want to move, but it's rush hour and you have your laptop bag and other commuters are surrounding you. You may not even realize it, but you just experienced one of the most common forms of sexual harassment, verbal. And it can get worse from there. Public transportation agencies like Metro are facing a number of challenges when it comes to combating sexual harassment on their railways or buses. One obstacle for policing verbal harassment is that it often isn't illegal. That leaves many victims of verbal harassment dealing with the after effects of it, and the harassers dealing with, well, nothing. 23-year-old Megan Botino knows that all too well. She says sexual harassment on Metro is as routine as swiping her SmartTrip card to get through the turnstiles.
It happens almost every day.
But she says one incident from a couple of months ago stands out among the catcalling and the looks. It was right in the middle of rush hour. Botino says a man was staring at her as she entered the station closest to her home, and then he asked for her number. She declined, saying she doesn't give her number to strangers.
Then he got a little angry and wouldn't walk away until I promised him that if he saw me again, that I would give him my number because then we wouldn't be strangers.
She hasn't seen him again. Sexual harassment can take on physical forms, too, which are illegal. Just this week, a man was found guilty of first-degree rape after a 2016 incident in which he attacked a woman at knife point. And another man was charged in 2016 after placing a fluid-filled condom on a woman's shoulder while on a Metro train. He was charged with assault. And while these cases are extreme and rare, they still happen.
A lot of what I do is bringing attention to the fact that this is a widespread problem and that it really limits people's lives.
Holly Curl is the founder of Stop Street Harassment, a nonprofit focused on documenting and ending harassment. And that's another challenge facing transportation agencies. Realizing the problem is widespread. Next is responding appropriately. Curl says it can be difficult to compare what public transit riders face in other cities because not every jurisdiction tracks sexual harassment. So Curl and other advocates approached Metro in 2012, asking the transit system to address the harassment happening here.
The initial response we got was, one person's harassment is another person's flirting. It's not a problem on our system.
But it was a problem. Curl says within a month of that meeting in 2012, Metro agreed to work with advocates, leading to a dramatic shift in the agency's approach. Metro has since teamed up with Stop Street Harassment and other groups to put up anti-harassment ads and a webpage to report harassment, among other strides the agency has made. Metro is also running a revamped PSA, with Holly Curl as its voice.
Welcome to Metro. We want your experience on board our trains and buses to be safe and free of harassment of any kind.
The agency commissioned a study in 2016 that showed 20% of respondents faced some type of sexual harassment on regional public transportation. That's on par with nationwide statistics. Now, Metro's next challenge is to get more people to report harassment when they see it or experience it. Metro General Manager Paul Wiedefeld.
Then we start to build, you know, okay, we have a database, all right, and we can start to track that in case, you know, in case it does evolve into something, or there we see a pattern starting to develop here, we can get on top of it.
Megan Botino, who was harassed at a Metro station to provide her number, didn't report what happened to her. She assumed Metro wouldn't do anything and is instead hoping her harasser doesn't remember what she looks like. That's a dilemma facing many victims of sexual harassment. Report what happened and hope something can come of it, or stay quiet and live with the knowledge that your harasser got away with it. Bettino says she's heard anecdotally from friends that reporting doesn't amount to anything.
It makes it disheartening and it makes you not want to say something because then you're just going out of your way when nothing's going to happen.
Bettina was so moved by her experiences that she took part in a photo series chronicling sexual harassment on Metro, entitled I Was on the Metro When. Activist Holly Curl says she believes Metro is doing what it can to tackle the issue.
Sexual harassment is a rampant problem in all arenas of our life, so it would be unrealistic to expect one transit agency to solve it. We have to address the culture and change it.
Until then, Curl says, it's up to everyone to put a stop to harassment, no matter where it happens. For WAMU, I'm Carmel Dalshad.